And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about this show goes way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, parts of, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, and parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. All right, we're gonna go to the phones right now. Yeah, we're going to the phones right now. State Senator Garland Gudger is on the line with us. He represents, I believe it's Senate District 4, which covers Cullman, Marion, and Winston counties. He hails from the Cullman area, and he's a businessman over there, spent time on the city council, has been in the Alabama State Senate now since, I believe, 2018, and he chairs the committee on fiscal responsibility and economic development, which I used to chair, which is kind of cool. State Senator Garland Gudger, how you doing?
I'm great, sir. How are you doing today? Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for making time. I know your time is precious when you've got session going on, so I appreciate the fact that you probably just pulled back into Cullman and still got on the air with us.
I was physically and mentally exhausted by the end of the day yesterday, so I actually stayed there, and I came back in today, so you're exactly right. Yeah, I came back home this morning and got here about 10 o'clock ago. So now I'm at my business trying to make some money to pay my bills.
Well, and speaking of your business, I got to say, before we talk politics, your business is Southern Accents, correct?
That is correct. Southern Accents Architectural Antiques.
Well, so to me, a cool claim to fame is not only have I been there and I loved the fact that we got stuff for our house there, but I was watching one day and saw Mike Wolf from American Pickers wearing one of your T-shirts. And I thought, how cool is that?
Yeah, he asked me to be on the show with him one time. It's the only show he's ever done in his hometown that he was tearing out, you know, pieces out of a house that was going to be demolished. And he asked me to come help him. And I thought I was just helping him. But then he ended up putting me on the show. And they rerun that Mike Wolf episode with me for American Pickers about once a month. So I get a lot of people coming through seeing me on the TV. So that was nice. Anyway, I feel like I'm an expert in my own business here. I've been doing it. My father did it before I did. Since 1969, so I'm second generation.
Well, and this is not meant to be a shameless plug or an advertisement, but you do have a very cool store.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, and you come back and see me anytime.
Well, I can't because Charlene will make me buy something. So
that's great.
All right, hey, listen, let's talk serious business in here. I want to talk about your bill in a minute, but before we do that, I've been running kind of hard on y'all. $1 billion got spent in record time. Can you tell me why it had to go so fast? I mean, what was your sentiment? If whatever you want to say about it, but listen, the bottom line is $1 billion with no amendments. I mean, I can't even imagine that.
Yeah, this is my opinion. Obviously, not, you know, I'm not speaking for anyone else but myself. I would like to have seen this thing laid down a little bit more, put our fingerprints on it, massage this whole bill a little bit more than the input that we had on it. A lot of the people saw the bill for the first time the first day we were back in special session, which was the day after the State of the State. And being able to spend that much money that quickly is a little scary, but there has been some people, especially our committee chairs in the budget, Senator Albritton and Rex Reynolds, had been in the middle of this, from what I understand now, for really a few months. And they have put a ton of time into it. They felt comfortable with it. At the same time, I started looking, what am I going to get back in my district? How is this money going to affect the people that I represent? And so I've been to ADM. I've went to and talked to ADECA about the broadband. I've tried to look at every type of what I'm going to say is nonprofits for the violence and for the community actions and what we've gotten in the last year from grants from ADECA, and trying to pull those numbers to make sure that if we're going to spend that much, number one, am I going to get some back in my district, which I think every legislator should be doing that. And at the end, I was getting a pretty good amount of that back in my district, so I was okay to vote for it. The second thing is that I don't like the process of it not going through and being appropriated, all of it, through the legislators. Obviously, you've been there before, Phil, and you see how the regular budget is being put together by the governor, and then she sends it over, and then we can massage that and change things that we see fit. And it was really happened the same way through this ARPA spending. And I would like to have a little bit more time in it. I would like to spend a little bit more depth and time to have the depth to go through those numbers a little bit more, and not just the line items and the words on the pages, but really see those numbers, that if they're going to be going for rural hospitals, how does it go to rural hospitals? Is it paying for their overhead?
Yeah.
Or is it paying for their workers? Or is it paying for going back to the patients, which that's where we want it to go, is to the people.
Well, and I completely agree with all of that, and it's wild to me that it can go through as fast as it did, that no one had any. I think Chris Elliott had an amendment, but I think it got stripped off, didn't it? And
it did. There was one amendment that was added on in committee that got changed. So some of the money from ADEM was going to be able to be spent not just on water and sewer, drinking water and sewer improvements, but it also got added for stormwater, so the drainage. So that was what was added to that also. And there was an amount of money that had to be matching funds to get of the $400 million that was going to ADEM, $100 million of that had to have a matching of 35% for whatever project you put in to get those funds.
But see, what you just described to me, those both make sense. But even down the house, I mean, there was I'll clarify right now, what I'm about to say did not come from you, so I'm not saying you told me this. I've been told by other members of the House that especially the freshmen were told, get in line, we're not allowing amendments. And I just find that to be troubling, and I hope that wasn't the case, that the executive branch has sent over something that some say in the House that a deal was made and we just have to do it. And that's not the way it's – I mean, you're a co-equal branch of government, and I hope the legislative process indicates that in the days to come.
You know, there are definitely rumors swirling throughout the State House, especially coming from the House, of things that we heard people say. I'm not sure if that was the case or not. Obviously, I'm on the Senate, so I was on the top floor, but I was feeling like there was being rushed and we needed to get it in and out. The good thing about the end of the day is when the dust settled, we did pay off a lot of debt for the Alabama Trust Fund, which was nice that we would borrow back, which I like doing that first. I think if you have debt in your own household, you want to pay that off first before you go spending money somewhere else, and we did that. And then when we came back, a lot of the money, like I said, I was able to find was coming back through my district, so I was okay with the bill in the end. If somebody tells me they're going to spend $1 billion within 5 days, that makes me a little leery. So at the same time, I was trying to pass my bill, and I was using that same special session for leverage on my bill because I think it's very important to all Alabamians. And from my bill going forward, I had to focus day and night to get it to the point where it is now so that I didn't have as much time on the ARPA funds looking as deep into it as I wanted to because I was trying to focus on the visitation rights for everyone in Alabama.
Well, and that's where I want to go next. I mean, I want to give some time to that because you weren't even on the show, and I was already talking about your bill a couple of days ago, and it's a good bill. And I will say this too, back to the issue of paying off the debt. I had Stephanie Smith from the Alabama Policy Institute on the air with me just right before you called in, and we both agreed we'll call balls and strikes, and we both agreed we really liked that piece of paying back that debt. And thought that was the way to go. And it's nice to see. I mean, because it was my class that had to borrow that money, and then you know we put in a provision that said we will repay it. It was nice to see it finally repaid. But
well, thank God you did that because I think it's the right thing to do. If we're going to be borrowing money, we need to be paying that back, even if it's from ourselves. But with what y'all did when you were in the Senate, and being able to put those, I'm going to say, savings accounts in place. Yeah. So that we're not having to, you know, have proration and stuff again, I think was brilliant. I'm just glad that my class was able to help repay that and finally finish the vision that you guys had, you know, before me. So I appreciate being kind of a team worker here.
Well, I appreciate that very much. So let's take the other half of our time now and talk about a bill that needs to happen. In fact, I look back on COVID and I think one of the most deplorable things that happened was the fact that there were people who died alone because they were in a hospital and no one would even let their family members come see them. And that should never happen again, and your bill addresses that.
It does. That's exactly what it addresses. And I think if we went to every Alabamian today and asked them, tell me a story that happened where you weren't able to see a loved one during the pandemic, everyone has a story. But the biggest one that hit me like a ton of bricks is a great friend of yours and mine, which is Harold Sachs.
Yeah.
That was from Winston County. He was the chief of staff, you know, for the Republican Party for a long time. And he and his wife, Bonnie, had been married for over 50 years. She wasn't able to see him the last few months of his life.
Unbelievable.
And he continued to decline. And they wouldn't let her in or any of the family. And so from that, that really spurred this on 2 years ago when I originally did this first bill, which is called the Harold Sachs bill. And from that, and we had it the way we wanted to in the Senate, it went down to the House and they changed my wording. So that in the end, when it came out at the end of the session, that the hospitals were still in control and the nursing homes were still in control and the healthcare facilities were still in control instead of the patients.
That makes no sense. That's the exact opposite of what we're trying to do.
Exactly. And so it changed my whole bill. And so I've been waiting till this time. So I'm ready to put this in. And I had some leverage there in the ARPA funds to insert this particular piece of legislation. And what that does exactly is it defines visitors and essential caregivers. If a visitor comes in, let's say that that's I'm in the hospital, that's a church group or just the general public coming to see me just to check on me. The second is essential caregiver, which is your loved ones, someone that's a guardian of you, somebody has the power of attorney, or your children or your spouse or your loved one. And the essential caregiver, through this bill, will have minimum 2 hours a day and the visiting hours to come see you and take care of you. I know you knew my father before he had passed away, Phil, when you came up to the store, and he went in the hospital multiple times at the end of his life, and he needed me there, yeah. And my sister and my mother, and just by getting him out of bed, walking him around a little bit, feeding ice chips to him at the end of his life, taking care of him, letting him use the restroom and bringing him back. Sometimes, you know, especially with men, they don't feel comfortable with that, with women doing that. So if you're having able to have family there to help take care of you, then you're going to get better. I mean, it even says in the chapter of Mark in the Bible that you can feel the human touch and then it helps heal. And it's the same way where these studies have shown when you have someone next to your bedside and you're I'm trying to get better and get healthy again, having your family next to you helps you mentally, emotionally. And so this bill protects our patients' rights and our rights for visitation in every healthcare facility. And I do need to say, through this whole process, I was worried that I was going to end up getting a lot of pushback from the healthcare facilities. The hospitals, the nursing homes, both came to the table. We had to negotiate. We did go back and forth, and we did leverage back of what we needed to do to get to where this bill is now, which will be passing next week. But they did come to the table, and I do have to admit it was a good process, and it was the way the process is supposed to happen.
Well, so let me go back to that point. Because I had hoped that your bill was going to be in the special session. I had really hoped that we were going to see that. And I think that bill, to me, that bill deserved the kind of attention that a special session can bring it. So you're saying right now, though, you think you have it poised to where it'll be first out the gate and you'll be one of the first ones to get passage in the early parts of the regular session.
There have been commitments on the House floor and on the Senate floor from both of our leaderships and from the stakeholders and the associations that I worked with. And everyone has kind of got this poised and ready, and I feel like I've got the road paved for it to hit a clear sailing immediately. We're going to have a three-day work week next week. Tuesday, I'll drop the bill. Wednesday, I'm supposed to be in committee. Thursday, I'm supposed to be passing it on the Senate floor, sending it straight down to Representative Debbie Wood, and she'll be taking it in the House.
Well, by God, if it doesn't work out that way, I want to know because I'm going to raise Cain.
You will see a mushroom cloud coming from Montgomery that does not at this point, Phil, because this is the number one thing I think is the right thing to do for the Alabamians. And so I'm thankful that my colleagues in the Senate feel the same way. And there was a lot of debate on the floor where we held up the ARPA funds for a while until we made sure we had commitments from everyone before we let it go through. And so I think everyone's ready for this to happen next week.
All right. Well, State Senator Garland Gudger, that pretty much runs our time. But thank you for being willing to come on and talk about something that I've been harping on, which is how fast that money got spent. But I appreciate you presenting it the way you did. And then secondly, good luck with your bill on the visitation rights, because that just needs to happen. It needs to happen everywhere.
I hope you let me talk about it next week. I'm excited about it.
All right, man. We'll talk soon. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too. Well, that's the way it's supposed to be. I mean, and by the way, Garland, he's a good dude. He knows for a fact that I am not happy with how fast that bill went through the legislature, and he still came on. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Down in the Senate, I can tell you right now, there were times when we were at war, but we worked. And that's the way the process is supposed to be. The idea that I'm hearing that some legislators were scolded for asking questions, I hope they scolded them back. In fact, I've got a call with one coming up this weekend, and I believe I'm going to get more of an earful. And it's just wrong that it happens. That there are folks who feel like they're being told you can't be a legislator. No, they were elected to be legislators. All right, Boomer, take us to the break, brother. We'll do that right now. We'll come right back. We're going to switch gears, jump right into number two of the Triple Dipper, number two, fighting back. Because there's some fighting back going on. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.